I invite you to open to hymn number 250. Hymn 250, a very familiar hymn, perhaps almost too familiar to many of us. And I'd like for us to join in singing verse number 1, paying very careful attention to the last line of poetry. Hymn 250, verse 1. It's an interesting thing. I've seen it in Lutheran homes. I've seen it in Lutheran pastors' offices. This amazing first verse of "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," sometimes in beautiful calligraphy, hanging there with a picture of Martin Luther, ending with just that last line of the first verse. Who is this one of whom we sing, on earth is not his equal? This, of course, is not the Lord God that we're singing about there. This is the Prince of Darkness, Satan himself, the fallen angel, the leader of the fallen angels. We are reminded at this Michaelmas time of the church year that we are still living on a battlefield. Every Easter we sing, "The strife is o'er, the battle won." And we realize that, of course, Christ has won for us as the Lord of the angels, the final victory over sin, death, and Satan. But the battle continues in our own lives and in the world around us. Satan, the fallen angel, is still very much in control of much of what we see around us, and he strives continually to be in charge of those forces within us which would shut our eyes and our ears to our Savior Jesus Christ. We turn now to hymn 545. Having started with the greatest poet of the Reformation, Martin Luther, we go now to one of his friends and colleagues, Philip Melanchthon. In this poem, we are also reminded, again, that despite the Easter victory, we still live in the midst of the battle. I'd like for us to join in singing together verses 4, 5, 6, and 7 of this hymn. 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Thank you.
We don't know when God created the holy angels. Sometime between "Let there be light" and that final day of rest when all creation was finished and everything was good. We don't know when the wicked angels rebelled against God in heaven and were cast out. But we do know that it was their delight, of course, to torment Christianity. And what a sad waste of creation it was for those angels who continue to try to trip up the Christians as we live our lives. For they were created, in fact, to worship God. Their job was the sweetest of all. Their job was divine liturgy for eternity. And in hymn number 548, we catch a glimpse now of the various ministries of the angels. Those angels and archangels who stand there, the cherubim and the seraphim around the throne of God in constant worship, and those other angels who are sent forth to minister to God's people on earth and to protect them from the power of the evil one. You'll notice this hymn, attributed to St. Joseph the hymnographer, written in the 9th century, comes to us from the Eastern Church. The church in the East has a very different liturgy from our own. The church architecture in the East is quite different from our own. If you enter an Eastern Orthodox church or a Russian Orthodox church, you are surrounded immediately by images, icons of the saints and the angels. You're surrounded by gold and silver and all manner of colors. The vestments are amazingly rich. Incense is everywhere. In the Eastern Church, the liturgy really is there to be not just a picture of heaven on earth, but a reality of heaven on earth. For Christ, of course, is present there in the liturgy. In our own liturgy that comes to us, of course, from Rome, the Western liturgy, how many times have we heard, as the gates of heaven are open to us in the Holy Communion, therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, the great hymn of the angels, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, Lord God of the armies, the hosts, the invisible legions of angels. God is the Lord, Sabaoth. And here in hymn 548, we join the Church of the East in celebrating the work of the angels. Hymn number 252. Comes to us from a very different time in a very different place. Hans Brorsen was a Danish pastor. He lived very close to the border, you know, if your geography, between Denmark and Germany. And in his day, many of the hymns in the Lutheran Church, especially in the part of Denmark in which he lived, were German hymns sung in German. And Brorsen felt that the Danish people should have something in their own language to sing. And this makes him and made him one of the most important of the Danish hymn writers. Theologically, he was what we would call today a pietist. And as you take your religion courses here at Bethany, you'll encounter that term and the concept and the different emphases that it brings along with it. One of the things the pietists were very in tune with was the fact that the Christian lived every day a struggle. For the Christian, it was a series of choices day after day there to be made between the right and the wrong. And Brorsen and most of the pietists who were honest about it realized that when given the choice, most human beings will follow Adam and Eve and make the wrong choice. And in this hymn, He does a marvelous job, first of all, of painting a very doleful picture of our situation, living in this life as servants of sin, living this life knowing that we are bound to die, living this life, especially for Christians who are aware that Satan is indeed a force in the world and a force in our lives. But he also realizes that God has not left us to our own choices and to our own desires, because that is, of course, a dead-end street. In fact, he has given us the angels to defend us. He has given us the final victory in our Lord Jesus. And he has given us the sure and certain knowledge that every step we take on this journey is a step not toward hell, but a step toward heaven. So I'd like for us to sing this hymn in its entirety. We will remain seated for the first three verses, and then please stand for the last three.